The church is tired. It's tired of listening to the voice of the government and of the party. And they have never given us a place in any arena. The radio, the TV, we cannot rent a place. We cannot rent a large place that we've asked for. So the church is tired, and it's now has decided to go out on the streets, to pray on the streets, to have events on the streets. And the leaders and the church members are willing to pay a price. The pastors are willing to pay the price. What pastors are saying now is, I'm not going to be quiet. We're going to go out. We're going to preach.
Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the life of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Join host Todd Nettleton as we hear their inspiring stories and learn how we can help right now on the Voice of the Martyrs Radio Network.
Welcome again to the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. My name is Todd Nettleton. We're in the studio today in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, with another of our one-name guests. Often for security, we don't use a full name for our guests because they are active in ministry in a hostile or restricted nation. That is certainly true today. Pastor Mateo is a pastor and a church leader on the island of Cuba. Pastor Mateo, welcome to the Voice of the Martyrs Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a privilege for me to be here.
Well, it is certainly a privilege for us to have you here. Pastor Mateo, most of our listeners, when they think of Cuba, they think of Fidel Castro. They think of the Castro brothers. They're not in charge anymore. But has that made a difference for the church? Has anything changed for Christians in Cuba?
Not at all. There's no difference at all between Fidel Castro, Raul Castro, and the current president. The church remains in the same status. Lately, we've noticed an increase in the attacks of the government against the church. It's like they feel threatened by the church. They have gone back to that stage when they attack Christianity.
What is it about the church that they find threatening?
The church has become something very strong that can communicate what the people is thinking. The church is allowed to mobilize what no other organism in Cuba can do. The church speaks and people respond. And not only faithful Christians, but the family of those faithful Christians. Because the church has been able to win respect and territory and favor from the people in Cuba.
I'm reminded of what we hear from Christians in China. The Communist Party wants to control the hearts of the people. And the church, Christ controls the hearts of the people in the church. And so they find that to be a threat.
Basically, it's that. The government sees the church as a threat. When an individual accepts Christ as their Lord and Savior, they stop trusting men and following men, and their focus becomes Christ. It's like if they just open their eyes, like if they had just woken up from a dream, and they know that the church, they don't follow men. They follow Christ and his doctrine. Therefore, they're afraid of this.
Amen. Let's talk about, I know there's a new law that has been enacted in Cuba. They say they want to cut down on quote-unquote disinformation online, and I think all of us would vote for that, less disinformation online. But how is this law being applied to pastors and churches and Christians?
Basically, the government has dictated laws to try to stop anything to be in social media, to stop anything that could be shown or broadcasted or put on social media. Actually, for me and many leaders, we've been threatened and we've been told that we cannot publish nothing against the leaders of the revolution or the government or the Communist Party. Therefore, they have tried to stop what people is publishing. But the church is very encouraged. They continue to publish the truth, and they don't like that. Therefore, we haven't stopped, and we're not going to stop ever.
Are they more concerned about people inside Cuba seeing those social media posts or the rest of the world seeing what's really happening in Cuba, or both?
I believe that they're trying to find a way that nothing bad gets published against Cuba, what they consider bad, because it's everything that comes from them. When they persecute or threaten, when pastors or the church is at risk, they don't want anybody to see that. But they don't want the world to see anything that damages the perception of socialism and communism around the world. So when the church talks well about Israel, they don't want the church to do that. They want the church to talk good about those against Israel. And those are things that they wish it wouldn't be posted on social media.
So the issue is control. I mean, they want to control what the rest of the world sees about Cuba.
Yes, the government's trying in any possible way to keep control. Actually, there's a school that was started by Fidel Castro himself that is called USI. That school works with tech people, trying to capture everything to either deny what the church or anybody is posting against the government.
We're talking this week on Voice of the Martyrs Radio with Pastor Mateo. He is a pastor and a church leader on the island of Cuba. Pastor Mateo, I know you have tried to do some things to reach out to communist authorities and government leaders, inviting them to meetings and just trying to have a relationship with them. Have you seen that make any kind of a difference, or have you seen any of them soften in the way they respond to the church because of that effort?
The Cuban church has experimented something that is beautiful. It has had an influence in all its people, but also in the house of Caesar. It has had influence in the house of Caesar because there's people that says, Pastor, I cannot go to church. But if you send people here, my house doors are open because they belong to the government. They have important position, but they're open for the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are afraid. They will not go to church, but they sympathize with the church. They support the church. They even help us with issues when they're about to come to harm us. Then the church knows. And it's because of them that they're in the house of Caesar that inform us.
Well, I hope that is a prayer item for our listeners to pray for those who are in those very influential positions and can be a blessing and can be a help to the church. Pastor, I know your group of churches has had some very large gatherings of believers and for praise and worship, for outreach. All of this is obviously illegal. You're not allowed to do that, but you're still doing it. How does that work? What are the challenges of gathering thousands of people illegally to sing praise to God and hear the gospel?
The church is tired. It's tired of listening to the voice of the government and of the party. It's not a place for you. That's the same thing they told Mary and Joseph when they weren't about to have Jesus. There was not a place for them to stay. And they have never given us a place in any arena. The radio, the TV, we kind of rent a large place that we've asked for. So the church is tired, and it's now has decided to go out on the streets, to pray on the streets, to have events on the streets. And that's why suddenly at the end of 2023, in Pinar del Rio something happened, in Havana something happened, in Camagüey something happened, in Holguín something happened, in Santiago de Cuba. And they're going to continue to happen because the church needs its space. And the leaders and the church members are willing to pay a price.
What is the price? What are they likely to pay for having these illegal gatherings?
The price that we're going to pay is to end up in prison, because that's what we've been told. You're going to go to prison. You can't do this. We're going to take you to prison.
But obviously the pastors are willing to pay that price.
The pastors are willing to pay the price. What pastors are saying now is, I'm not going to be quiet. We're going to go out. We're going to preach. And they're always, the government's trying to pressure the leaders in Cuba to convince its church members, but the pastors are tired and the church is tired. We need space and we're going to take it.
So how do you prepare yourself? How do you prepare other pastors to be willing to pay that price?
Since we started pastoring, we knew we're going to face difficult situations. But there's a principle established in the Bible that we can't ignore. Jesus in Matthew 16 said that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. But in the Old Testament, when the people of Israel was in Egypt, the more they tried to restrain its people, his people, they will multiply. Seems like this is something that a country like Cuba is not understanding. It seems like the Cuban leaders doesn't understand this thing. But if they go to the Bible, they better learn that if they try to restrain them, they're going to multiply. That if they restrain us, we are going to multiply. And they will never be able to stop the advance of the church. Because even if they are the gates from hell itself, they cannot prevail.
Amen. We're talking this week on Voice of the Martyrs Radio with Pastor Mateo. He is a pastor and a church leader on the island of Cuba. So, Pastor, when you hold an event like this and the police or the government, the party leaders come and talk to you, what do they say or what do they threaten?
Many times when we have this type of events, immediately they go against the pastors that were part of this event, the ones responsible of these areas, and they start threatening these pastors continuously. They call leaders above us to let us know that we can't do these things. And they try in any possible way to stop us. But now it's impossible. Pastors have decided it's not just one denomination. It's not another denomination. It's the church.
And what is the response of the people who are coming to these events?
People rejoice in these events. They are overflowing with joy they're receiving such a unique and special way. Because you cannot keep people locked. They want to gather together and to express themselves, to talk and communicate. We've been 65 years just between four walls. You cannot talk outside the walls. And people are exhausted of doing this.
And I mean, we're talking about thousands of people at these events. These are not like a couple hundred people. These are thousands of people.
Yes, thousands of people are gathering. Thousands of people in the West, thousands of people in the East, and thousands of people in the center of Cuba. But what is best is about to come.
I'm reminded of a country I visited where I was told everything is illegal, but everything is possible. And it sounds like Cuba is kind of that way. If the pastors are willing to pay the price, everything is illegal, but everything is possible.
That is completely true. Nothing is legal. If you want to build a church, it's not legal. If you want to fix a church, it's not legal. If you want to find a house to gather together, it's not legal. If you want to get under a mango tree, it's not legal. If you want to go to a farm, it's not legal. Nothing is legal. So how can we do something illegal? We cannot achieve it. So we have to break the status quo of legality.
But in order to do that, you have to be willing to pay the price. And as you have said, the pastors are willing. They understand, yes, we might have to go to jail to do this.
And that's the reason why pastors are tired. The people are tired and they want to express themselves. They want to express their faith freely. Why do we have to keep being restricted in our faith? What if we have money that could be donated from any church? We can rent a stadium or a meeting hall. Oh, but then a cultural group from Afro-Cuban religions show up and they can rent whatever they want. No problem. But it's a problem for the church.
Yeah, for the church who is there all the time.
Yes, the church that has been there all the time, the church in Cuba. The church that naturally has been raised in the heart of Cuba. They have restriction, restriction, restriction.
What are the biggest needs right now for the church in Cuba?
Pray for Cuba so that the Lord can give us strength, so that we can continue remaining faithful to face anything, and so that we can continue preaching the gospel, so the church continues to grow, so that one day there will be freedom of religion in Cuba. Because right now there's no freedom of religion in Cuba.
We're talking this week on Voice of the Martyrs Radio with Pastor Mateo. He is a pastor and a church leader from Cuba. Pastor Mateo, I know one of the ways that they bring pressure on pastors is by attacking their family, by even their children pay a price. Can you share what that's like? Maybe tell us some stories of pastors' families that have paid a price. But then how do the pastors respond when it is costing their children? It's costing their family members for them to be a representative of the gospel.
If you notice today, many pastors have their children outside of the island. And one of the reasons why their children are outside of Cuba and they're not with them is not because they have stopped loving them. It's because they love them so much, they're taking care of them. Because many of our children, they suffer everything that their parents go through. And that's one of the reasons why it's sometimes preferably to be separated from the family so that they could be protected. Sometimes pastors have gone to prison so that their kids don't have to be educated, indoctrinated in philosophies against their Christian beliefs. And the government does not allow them to do so. So they have to decide sometimes to go to prison because the government doesn't allow us to educate our children the way we want. So many pastors take their kids out of Cuba so they can be educated in a different culture so they can protect them.
And I know sometimes even if the children are there and they do all the assignments, they do everything they're supposed to do, they still don't get the diploma. They still don't get the degree. They're prevented from advancing in their jobs because their father is a pastor.
Yes, that's a reality. Many times our children that are about to get a degree in the university, many times they try to influence them to become part of the youth for communism or the party and to try to get them astray from Christianity. Many pastoral families have suffered of this, and Christian families have suffered from that. So pastors and Christians see as a better option to get their kids out of the country.
Which is another sacrifice that they are making.
Yes, it's an incredible sacrifice, but it's better.
Yeah. But it's a sacrifice for the pastor. It's a sacrifice for their kids. The whole family has to make a sacrifice to be a part of this.
Exactly. Pastors have to suffer and renounce the opportunity to have their family with them, even including them in their own ministries, because many of our children are part of the pastoral ministry. Because they help in leadership, they help singing, they become natural leaders for the pastor. But we have to stop using them. It's better to protect them and send them outside and to help them not suffer what they're going through.
Yeah. That's another item for our listeners to be in prayer for the families of pastors in Cuba who are sacrificing. They are sacrificing in very real ways in order to support that ministry. Pastor Mateo, when the authorities call you in or when the police call you in, what is that like? How does that conversation go when they take you in for questioning?
When the police or some other government institution calls us, you stop losing the fear that you had at first, because there have been so many times I've been called, and you get used to being called by them. Now, the pastor lets other people around him about the situation, so their friends or other leaders are aware of the situation he's about to face. But what is clear for us is once you know what you're about to face, accusations, insults, and times where they want to involve you in politics, and they start putting you in a corner, so you can start fearing whatever they can do against you. And that becomes the strategy they use against us, intimidation. So you can stop doing those things that they deem dangerous or against them. But even against that, you get used to.
So I want you to imagine that there is a young pastor who has just received his first call to the police station. And he calls you and says, "Oh, Pastor Mateo, they've called me. I have to go talk to them." How would you advise him? Because he's not used to it yet. He's still afraid. How would you advise that young pastor to prepare his heart and his mind to go into that first questioning with the police?
We have had these situations. Something as specific as what you mentioned. Pastors have called leaders above us that they asked our leaders, "How shall I proceed?" And the response is, "Remain faithful in the faith. Never renounce your faith. Let them see strength in your words. Even if you're shaking inside, don't show your fear. Remain faithful and firm." Remain firm and tell yourself, if this is going to damage my faith, I'm willing to pay a price. Remain faithful in that, and God is going to give you the victory.
Amen. I'm reminded of a brother working in the Middle East, and he said that's his prayer when the police call is, "Lord, don't let them see me shaking."
Actually, there's a verse in the Bible that says, if you go before the authorities, talk what the Spirit is going to tell you to speak. And that's what is happening now. The government is noticing that the pastor is willing to testify, to talk with courage. They know that something else could happen, but they have courage enough to do it, because it's the Holy Spirit that speaks through the pastor's mouth.
We're talking this week on Voice of the Martyrs Radio with Pastor Mateo. He is a pastor and a church leader in Cuba. Pastor Mateo, I know Voice of the Martyrs is helping with the work of the church in Cuba. Can you talk a little bit about what that help means for pastors and church leaders like yourself?
The Voice of the Martyrs has been this refreshment, this anointing oil for the pastors in Cuba. Because Voice of the Martyrs assures us and gives us and tells us that not only Cuba is suffering, they're suffering in other parts of the world, in other countries. And the Voice of the Martyrs let us know about this. And that gives us strength to know that we are not the only ones going through this, that there are other Christians suffering, even worse than we are, but they have remained faithful. Their faith have not decreased. So for us, it has become an experience that is very powerful to continue forward. And not only literature. There's so many reasons why we should thank Voice of the Martyrs of all the help they have given us. Also spiritual help and physical help.
It's an honor for us to stand with brothers and sisters like you. In your role as a pastor and as a leader, what's the hardest part of your job?
You need to know that you're going to go through a difficult time. But when you are acting as a pastor, when you are interrupted by government saying, "Oh yeah, you can do that," and you're so encouraged to do something, you're encouraged to share the gospel and to do social work, to go with the elderly and with the children, and then you're not allowed to do so. It's a frustration inside us. And then we ask God, till when? And that's the hardest thing to do, because pastors would love to do social work all around Cuba. But the government doesn't want the church to do anything that will steal the spotlight from the government.
So the pressure continues.
Yes, it continues.
Pastor Mateo, it's an honor for us to have you here. As we finish up, we always like to equip VOM Radio listeners to pray. We've talked a little bit about this, but are there other things that you would ask us to pray on behalf of yourself, on behalf of the church in Cuba?
Sometimes in Cuba, we have issues where we need the finances to do events or to help pastors that are going through difficult situations. And sometimes at the moment, we are not understood. But if you tell somebody, believe, but the one that is believing is hungry, and you tell them, "Oh, believe, but here's a plate of food," then you're showing your faith and your love at the same time. And it's not just telling people, "Hey, we're going to be praying for you." It's, I'm praying for you, but hold my hand and I'm going to help you too. That is important for us.
Amen. How do we do that? How do we as Christians in America hold the hand of our brothers and sisters in Cuba?
If you ever hear of any need that we're going through that is related to the fact that we are ministers of God in Cuba, help us achieve that these events that we are hosting publicly, that we can continue to do so. You don't pay a price inside of the island, but you're paying a price outside of Cuba, helping with finances so that this can happen.
Amen. Pastor Mateo, what a blessing it is to have you here. Thank you for being our guest this week on Voice of the Martyrs Radio.
For me, it has been a pleasure and an honor to be here with you. Others have come and have testified, and I'm honored to be here too. Maybe I'm not a great leader, but at least you can hear my voice.
I'm so thankful that we get to share testimonies like Pastor Mateo's here on the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. I hope that you're encouraged. I hope that you're inspired to pray. You know, there's another way that we share testimonies from our persecuted brothers and sisters. Last weekend, I got to be a part of the I Am In virtual event put on by the Voice of the Martyrs. I want to encourage you, if you were not able to be a part of that event, if you were not able to watch, you still can. We'll give you a link in the show notes this week on vomradio.net. You can also find links at persecution.com. We had a great time together last Friday evening hearing from three bold believers who have faced persecution and radical Islam head on. And we got to hear great music as well from Stephen Curtis Chapman. Heather Mercer opened the event. Heather was doing gospel work in Afghanistan when she was arrested and imprisoned by the Taliban there. She shared her amazing story. You know, Heather is still working among Muslim people today, 20 years after getting out of prison in Afghanistan. Then I had the privilege of interviewing Pastor Hassan Abdurrahim. If you're a longtime VOM Radio listener, you'll know Pastor Hassan has been with us here on VOM Radio as well. He was arrested in Sudan, actually arrested alongside my VOM colleague, Peter Yasek. Pastor Hassan was sentenced to 12 years in prison. Thankfully, he was pardoned and eventually released and left Sudan. Pastor Hassan did a great job telling us during the virtual event how he found joy and the presence of Christ, even in a Sudanese prison cell. And finally, our last speaker was another former VOM Radio guest, Brother John Samara. John leads a team of church planters and gospel workers all across the Middle East and North Africa. He gave a great update on how the gospel is spreading in those regions. In spite of danger and threats and persecution, God is at work, and John did such a great job of sharing that. Again, if you missed the event, you can still stream it. And in fact, let me encourage you, don't watch it by yourself. Get your Bible study group together. Get your Sunday school class together. Maybe get your whole church together and be inspired by the I Am In virtual event. Again, we'll give you a link in the show notes this week at vomradio.net. I encourage you, be a part, watch the I Am In virtual event. One of the other things you can do at vomradio.net is send me a note. I'd love to hear where you're listening. I'd love to hear how God is using the testimonies of our brothers and sisters to inspire you. Jenny wrote in and said, "Thank you for the wonderful testimony. I came to this page after reading day 12 of Todd's devotional. That book is called When Faith is Forbidden. There's a link to get yourself a copy at vomradio.net. Jenny finishes by saying, "God is really speaking to my life." Jenny, that blesses me to hear. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for praying for our brothers and sisters. We also heard in recent weeks from Ashwin writing in all the way from Fiji. He says, "I'm always moved and inspired as I listen to the program," and he shares the stories with his brothers and sisters at his church in Fiji. So bless you, Ashwin. Thank you for writing in. Thank you for listening to the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. You can send me a note at vomradio.net. Next week, we're going to meet a Christian from Nepal, a man who's leading a ministry reaching children all across Nepal. as well. They're involved in other nations of South Asia. I know you'll be encouraged to meet him, to hear what God is doing among children in South Asia. That's next week right here on the Voice of the Martyrs Radio Network.